So, hi there. Welcome, Lynn Seraphin.
Hiya, Tom. How are you?
Great. So, thanks for coming on the Moments of Light show and talking as a show all about people that have had a light bulb moment and actually done something about it. And I think you strike me as the sort of person that's had many a light bulb moment. But I'm quite intrigued about this new book of yours, The Seven Graces of Marketing, and how that came about. So, what was the spark that caused that to come into our lovely world?
There were many little sparks, but then there was probably, one big one that kind of did it. So let me give you a couple of the little sparks and then the big one that really hit me. Some of the little sparks were the fact that about 4 years ago or so, I started getting a lot of clients who were in holistic professions or people in creative industries, because that's what I come from, who really hated marketing. So I could see that there was something about marketing that didn't gel with a certain personality type. So that was kind of a little spark that was percolating, and I could see that marketing had an edginess to it that they didn't like. And I realized I started paying attention to things going on in networks, those kind of morning networks where people gave their morning talk, that 60-second pitch, to sell their product. If you've ever gone to those kind of business network
Oh,
things,
yes, yeah.
elevator pitches. And I realized that the thing that a lot of them was using is fear. They were using fear to get people to act. And I knew from experience that fear was a great short-term motivator, but not a long-term motivator. And that actually made us ill, made us feel sick over in a long period of time. So I realized that since the people I was dealing with were mainly people who were healers or people who were really about internal growth, that was antithetical to some underlying value system. So the initial idea was realizing that at these meetings, oh my God, everybody's using fear, like they're saying, do you know that mortgage rates are going to go up tomorrow? You better get a new mortgage today, or do you, things like that, things that really make you go, ah, I better act now. And that was the small light bulb moment that made me see there was a need to write something about this and to kind of guide people who, not just these people who had businesses, that some of them were going out of business, to guide them along the way. So you were saying, you know what, you're not failures. What you are is you're actually sensing a clash of values. So let's look at how we can create marketing that is in alignment with your value system. So that was the first one, but I'll call that a little spark. It wasn't actually the big thing. The next spark that happened was one day in February 2008, right at the beginning of the so-called recession that people are referring it to as lovingly. My TV blew up. It went poof. It just blew up.
Was it in the
Didn't
middle?
explode.
Was it in the middle of an advert?
No, I turned it on. And I had gotten into a habit of watching TV at night. I had, some years I'd go for many years without TV, then I'd come back, no TV, then I'd come back. Since I lived alone, I had gotten into this habit of watching TV. I go to, I do my work for the day, come back, get a glass of wine, sit down, turn on the TV around 7 o'clock, and that was kind of a ritual. And I was watching really insipid junk because I had just gotten into this habit. And what happened is when I turned it on, it went, it just made this sound, and then I saw this little white squiggle across the screen, and I could hear the voice, but I saw the squiggle, and like an idiot, I stood watching it for about 5 minutes, waiting to see if the squiggle would open up and it didn't happen. And my first thought was, insert explicative here. I now have to spend 300 quid on another TV, and I was really upset, and I called up a friend, and she I told her what happened, and I said, as if we don't all have enough money problems, blah blah blah, now I have to spend all this money on another TV. And she said, great, it broke, now you can cancel your TV license. As you living in England understand, we
Yes,
have to pay a
indeed.
TV license. And it gave me a thought. I said, what if I don't replace the TV, so I'm not out that money, I don't have to spend a TV license, I can cancel my cable. It'll give me my evenings back. How much will I save in not buying all that Pinot Grigio to sit drinking while I'm watching television? And after a while, I realized that this was going to save me a lot of money. So but it also gave me time. And that was the key thing. The thing that it bought me was all this time to create lots of things. That's when I wrote my first book that came out in 2009. It was pretty much because my TV broke.
I got it done.
So that's one thing. But here's the big thing. About, let's see, 7 months later, it was September of 2008. The real recession thing was really building steam. Now, mind you, I hadn't had TV at all, wasn't watching any television online, wasn't doing anything. I was on social media, but I was not consuming mass media at all for that 7 months. I was standing in the queue at a bank to put some money in the bank, fortunately, putting money in. And I was in a long queue, and there was a big flat screen television on the wall with the sound turned down. And what it was BBC 24. And there were these really serious people. Well, the sound was low. So the really serious people talking about the fact that, I can't remember which bank it was, but such and such bank was taken over by a hostile takeover, blah, blah, blah. This one was collapsing. This one's declaring whatever. And all these little, you know, ticker tape headlines along the bottom with all these messages about the economy collapsing. Everybody in the queue looked really glum, really upset. The tellers in the bank looked upset. There was this real, air like that in the queue. And I looked and I suddenly realized I didn't feel what they were feeling. That was the big light bulb moment. The big light bulb moment. Because I looked, I said, do you know what? I'm not worried about money. And I started thinking, do you know what? My business has improved since, my TV blew up. I didn't draw the connection yet. My business has improved over the last 6 months. It's gotten better. I've gotten more income. My debts have gone down. I've thought of creative ways to lessen my spending and create more wealth. And I thought, what's the difference between me and them? And I realized it's because all of these people were kind of on this continuous time frame of, or in, like, almost like Big Brother, you know, almost like 1984, where they were continually confronted by media. And that was so in them that the impact of watching this alarmist information all the time had actually gotten into their cells. It was making them ill. It was making them depressed. I knew so many people saying that they were, you know, on antidepressants. Later, when I went to the States a little while after that, people were staying in their jobs because they were terrified of losing their health insurance, jobs that they couldn't stand. Everybody was so stressed. And being a creative artist from, you know, in the past, not just an author, but I was a musician, I know that when you are afraid, it shuts down your creative process. You cannot do anything. You cannot make anything. You can't create anything positive. And that was the big light bulb moment. I said, the difference between them and me is that I am not reading newspapers, which I never have done. I am not watching television. I am not watching the nightly news. I am not seeing adverts. I'm not seeing any of it. And it was as if I had been detoxed.
Wonderful.
And at that point, I realized that there is a connection. There is a connection between marketing and our health. I realized that. And I said, what else is there? I said, I know it's got to do with fear, but what else is there? Are there other things? Is it impacting us in other ways, something besides our health? Obviously, it was impacting my economic situation. I realized that my economic situation improved when I wasn't looking at marketing and media. And so those two things, I said, how is marketing and media impacting my health, my economic situation, and what else is it impacting? So this question, the initial question of the book is marketing making us ill? That's how the book starts, this first chapter.
Gotcha.
Is it making us ill? And after 400 pages, I hope people see, yeah, it is. You know, I don't want to feed, I don't want to somebody, I've had lots of beautiful reviews for the book. One person actually reviewed it and said, but she doesn't give us any answers. Well, the book actually, although The Seven Graces of Marketing is a paradigm, I'm not telling people what they need or what they do need to do or how to change the world. I'm opening the door to conversation. The point of the book is, you know what? I've done a lot of research, and what I found is that it's not just fear, but it's the use of it's three things, what I call the three furies: fear, sex, and humor, and how they are used in non-ethical ways. What I consider to be really well, using fear can only be ethical if there is an actual danger and you people need to get out of the way to save themselves. Using it for manipulation is unethical. Fear is a very primal thing, and we have to protect the use of that. It's very, very irresponsible to use it for exploitative means. But anyway, fear, sex, and humor. And then what I talk about in the book is I show the history of marketing. I show certain campaigns and how they actually have changed the course of how we behave in society. Mm-hmm. I gave some examples from specific marketing campaigns, specific things that happened as a result of that, specific statistics on health. And not just that, also on environment. That was the last piece that I didn't understand right away, how marketing was affecting our health, our economy, and our environment. And massively creating false needs to make us spend more quickly, to make us consume more quickly and you know, more rapidly greater amounts than we need to. Therefore, we have to create credit systems. Therefore, the earth can't absorb what we're consuming. It's massive. It's massive. And the book really takes you through this. It does pose more questions than it answers, but the purpose of it is to start the dialogue.
Okay, and why seven graces then, Lynn?
Okay, well, and that's another light bulb moment. Glad you asked me that, because I think all good creative things come in flashes, and I know you think the same thing, and you've experienced the same thing. I was kind of laboring to figure out how to write this book for... I decided I was going to write the book in December 09. So, I wrote a big outline and lots of notes, and a lot of it was my personal ideas, but I had nothing to hang my hat on, so to speak. Nothing to really grab onto, nothing substantial. And I was supposed to give a talk to a group of people in Gloucestershire in August of 2010. So I'd been working on it for quite some time, off and on, because I didn't have the direction. And it was supposed to be on quote-unquote spiritual marketing, which really the book is not. It's not at all spiritual. I call it holistic, yeah, but not. I don't use the word spiritual, because it's not. It's holistic. Which spiritual is a part of, you know, it's the whole thing. It's the whole package. It's physical just as much as spiritual. So I sat down and I said, I really don't know how to present this. I have a gut feeling about what I want to say. I know some of the things I want to say, but I can't grasp it. And I sat down at my desk, shut the door. There's all this festival going on. I got away from people, had a piece of paper in front of me, pen next to me. And I said, I just literally just said to the universe, I said, what is it? And I said, what is it? What is the model? What's the model?
Mm-hmm.
And literally, that's what happened. And I saw seven. And immediately when I saw seven deadly sins.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, okay, well, that's the old model, obviously. So what's this side? And I said, oh, seven graces. And it came faster than I could write it down. I saw the seven deadly sins. I saw the seven graces. Fast. Write it down. That's it. They are exactly the way as I got them, except for one, where my left brain got in the way in receiving it, where later I realized it was different. And there was one of the original ones that I said, permission, interruption was the deadly sin and permission was the grace. And I actually kind of was taking that from Seth Godin. So that was my left brain taking that. The actual one in the book is invasion.
Yes.
Versus invitation.
Wow.
And so really invitation, it's not about just giving permission, putting your email in a box and giving permission to be marketed to or saying yes. It's about invitation. It's about engagement. It's about the lost art of engagement with people. It's about learning how to be a gracious host when somebody's on your website or when somebody comes into your space, and about learning even better to be a gracious guest when you go into their space. And so the grace of invitation is really elegant. It's really, really lovely. And it is lost. It's lost in society. Not lost, but it's not as practiced in modern Western culture as it still is in, you know, some Eastern cultures, and as it was in Western culture when my grandparents were, you know, when I was going to my grandparents' house, say, for instance. So the seven, do you want me to list the seven deadly sins and the seven graces?
Yeah,
just
let's
quickly
do that. But I just want to make the observation that just then using the word in your website copy, here's mm-hmm. your to here's your invitation to so-and-so, completely softens the message.
Yeah.
And completely invites people in. And I'd love you to hear the other seven, but I just want to make an observation.
Sure, sure do.
Of how we're hard-coded. You know, you were talking mm-hmm. about the past with your left hand.
Mm-hmm. And, I know,
yeah,
left and right.
And the right as being the graces and this being the sort of the
yeah.
seven problems. And we
yes.
got this hard-coded, and you said that thing snuck into my left brain. And what I'm observing big time, and I was diagnosed when I was 40 as having 100% left brain and no right brain, because I was sitting in that world. Is that
I
we
doubt
are,
that. I really doubt that.
We are switching on our left brain, and that ability to have both at the same time. But listen, let's hear the other seven graces.
Well, what I want to say about that is that I used to think I was very much, well, I kind of thought I was kind of a whole brain person, but this book is really a balance. There's a real balance in it. There's a lot of storytelling. There's a lot of heart. The storytelling is what people tell me makes it work, because it brings it down to earth. It's not theory and just statistics. There are
sure.
statistics in there, but there's a lot of stories to show you the graces in context, or the deadly sins in context. Here's an example of it in daily life, not just marketing. Here's an example of how, you know, humor or distraction doesn't work, how it turns into something really insipid.
Gotcha.
In daily life. And so take that, you know, bring that in, you know, think of how that applies to marketing. So here's the graces and sins. So what I'll do is I'll actually start with the right hand. I'll start with the graces and then show you its counterpart in the deadly sins. So the first grace is connection, okay, as opposed to disconnection, obviously. Okay. The second is inspiration
mm-hmm.
versus persuasion.
Mm-hmm.
Which most marketers are really in-your-face persuasion.
Mm-hmm.
The third is invitation,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to invasion.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth is directness, as opposed to distraction.
Okay.
Which is a subtle one to get, and a lot of people don't
mm-hmm.
Understand how insidious it can be, because it lures us usually with humor, and we
mm-hmm.
think it's okay, but it's actually... It's really that those forms of distraction can make people spend and buy things that are not based upon rational judgment
mm-hmm.
And have nothing to do with the product quality. That's why it's a sin. So directness is extremely important. Simplicity, directness, say it like it is. The fifth one is transparency, which is not just about being honest. It's about really having a value base that is shining through. The literal meaning of the word transparency is to shine light through.
Okay.
And so it is about having that value, being visible and shining it through your business and your marketing. The opposite to that is deception,
mm-hmm.
Deception is a pretty big chapter in the book. And there's so many different ways that marketers deceive.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it's through the manipulation of language.
Okay.
Like lies that aren't legally lies,
mm-hmm.
but they are lies because of the way the brain is wired. And if you understand, it's kind of like what people talk about with NLP, I guess, but if you understand how the brain processes certain bits of information, especially when you're talking about 30-second adverts or shorter that just are bombarding you, people process information in a different way from what's actually being shown.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, I'll give you a simple example of deception. Something says, nothing works faster.
Okay.
People process that to mean this is the fastest working, which is not what it means at all. It
yeah.
means that it's either all the same as everything, and that all of them are about the same,
mm-hmm.
or it's about the same as the ones that work the best, or none of them work.
Mm-hmm.
It can actually mean none of them work.
Mm-hmm.
It can mean that it doesn't work at all. But that's not what the brain hears. And so for the consumer to be educated in this, for the purpose of knowing why they're spending on things, you know, or whether they should, that's really what the book is, hopefully empowering the consumer to realize that. And so they can say, wait a minute, stop, marketer, I'm not going to go go for this. And from a marketer's perspective, it's also for them to realize what they're actually, what's the impact they're actually having on the consumer? What are the trends that they're setting? What's the impact that that has on society, economy, and planet as a result of them using those kinds of manipulations? So it's for both consumer and marketer. Okay, that's five, transparency versus deception. Six is abundance, which is a very overused word, versus scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
Scarcity marketing is probably the biggest form of marketing out there. I cite many, many different examples. Obsolescence is one of the biggest aspects of scarcity marketing, especially with regards to things like the electronics industry, and computer industry. Oh my God, you know, and it's, I talk about printers, you know, and a great example of obsolescence is printers, how a printer breaks. It's easier to go buy a new printer than to get it fixed. You can't get them fixed. The environmental impact this is having is phenomenal. And if you actually do the maths and look at the economic impact this is creating, it's also phenomenal. Mm. And when you combine that with all the other things that we're doing, somebody on my telesummit, it was Chris Arnold, who's the author of a book called Ethical Marketing and the New Consumer. He cited the fashion industry, clothing, as the biggest thing for scarcity, fashion going out of style, things wearing out, the amount of waste we're, you know, nothing. Everything's made to break, essentially.
Sure.
Either in terms of style or it's actually breaking.
Sure. And I think we just lost Skype for about a second there, but I got the point of that. So,
right. Either because of style, yeah, or because things are actually breaking, we are consuming. Those are two types of scarcity, of obsolescence. So abundance is, it's not like this kind of idea people have, like with, you know, the secret and all this stuff. It's much, much deeper. Abundance is, it's really a call to business owners to realize, and everybody indeed, to realize that there is enough for all on one condition. When we live in step with the planet, when we're in harmony, not just harmony, but rhythm to the way the planet creates and recycles. If we, before technology, capitalism was a great model, because we could only create what we could consume,
mm-hmm,
at the rate we consumed it. With technology, we can create much more quickly, millions of times more quickly, than we can actually consume. That's really why modern marketing came about. Modern marketing came about to create an artificial need for things that we didn't need, that now we're being told we do need them through all of these sins.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, what's happening is, the earth can't sustain it. It is not a sustainable model. Our whole economic model, our whole capitalistic model needs to be revisited because it's out of date. Not because it's bad, because it's out of date. It's not evil, it's obsolete. It needs to be revised.
Absolutely.
And so abundance is the fundamental belief that there is enough for all, the fundamental understanding there is enough for all when we live and operate economically and socially according to the rhythm of the planet. It's simple concept. Is it a simple thing to fix? It's going to take, I believe that in Britain we might start to see, if we start now, I think 30 years' time we'll see the change. Unfortunately, in America, I think it's going to take a lot more, 50, 60 years to see this change. The reason for that is America doesn't have certain infrastructures. And I can say this, I'm a dual citizen, so I love both countries equally. America doesn't have certain infrastructures in place, such as public transport, different things that are not there the way it is in Britain,
mm-hmm,
which have to be there in order for some of these changes to be made. It has to do with food production. It has to do with car dependency. There's lots and lots of issues. I talk about all of these issues in the book. The last of the graces is collaboration versus competition.
Mm-hmm.
Now, competition in marketing is king. There are even books out there that, there's one book I'm looking on the shelf. It's called something, Marketing Warfare. I cite from it. It's funny if you look at it here, but if you look at it on a, if you look at it really at a sociological level, it's not.
Mm.
Because what competition is doing is it's creating people, it's compelling people, the attitude of competition is compelling people to force markets that are really not necessarily good for society. Again, it's based on the capitalistic model of continual growth. I show reasons why that will never work, not with technology in the picture. And we're not going to give up technology, let's face it. And collaboration has to do with seeing that when we are really creating things collectively for all, it makes us bigger. And I don't mean collaborations where, you know, McDonald's gives away Pirates of the Caribbean toys, you know, to create, again, artificial markets. And again, that's a deception, form of deception. I'm talking about genuine collaborations where people realize that it's about giving and about making it bigger and about looking from a value point. What do I, in terms of value, what do I want to create in terms of my values to make this better? What can I, how can I work with someone to make a bigger, better world? So I'll just take you through them quickly again. It's connection versus disconnection, inspiration versus persuasion, invitation versus invasion, directness versus distraction, transparency versus deception, abundance versus scarcity, and collaboration versus competition.
That's
the seven graces versus the seven deadly sins.
Oh, I like it. So I know kind of what world I want to live in, Lynn. That sounds great. So how can people get hold of you? Where can they buy a copy of the book? When can they come on the workshop? And when can they get working on their marketing?
I'm gonna say. Oh, that's a lot of questions. This is a copy. This is a picture of the book. Isn't it a beautiful cover? I love the cover.
Great.
If they want a copy of the book, it's available on Amazon. I haven't worked on getting it in shops yet. It's paperback and Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to come, I'm going to direct you to my site, because if you come through my site and pick up a copy, I mean, you'll pick it up on Amazon, but if you come and enter your details on my site, a couple of things will happen. One is that you will get the downloads to a telesummit I did in December 2011 with 24 different speakers, including Dr. Joe Vitale from The Secret, Dr. Eric Pearl from The Reconnection, Dan Hollings, who's he was actually the marketing mastermind behind The Secret itself, Alison Maslin, who's the number one selling entrepreneurship author, 24 people, I can't name them all right now, but it was a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant seven-part telesummit talking about each day was a grace and a sin, like this, and
wow.
And it's over 10 hours of audio. That's for people completely free to download. If they come to my page, say that they've bought the book, put their Amazon code in, and then they just get all of that. The other thing that will happen is they will be part of the Seven Graces online community that I'm creating, and I will be having in the beginning of organizing a Seven Graces Global Conference in London, June 22nd, 23rd, 24th. It's going to be massive. It's a room for about 150, 170 people. Going to have about 10 speakers or so, lots of breakout sessions. It's going to be a major networking and really masterminding event for people who want to heal humanity and the planet by changing the way we sell,
wow.
Which is the subtitle of the book.
Nice.
And so it's not a thing where they're teaching you how to do this. It's about getting... And one of the stipulations for my speakers is that when they're not speaking, they have to be on the ground, in the group, masterminding. There are no hierarchies. I don't care if you're the CEO of the biggest corporation in the world or whatever. Everybody is part of this network on the ground collaborating. That's the vision for it.
Wonderful.
So I want people there, and I'm going to duplicate it in Northern California in December 2012. Again, if they come to my site, they can get the information for that. So it's at the7gracesofmarketing.com, and that's with the number 7, the7gracesofmarketing.com. At the top of the page, you'll see a link that says something like free gifts when you buy the book, something like that. Can't remember what it says. Just click that. That has links to buy it on any Amazon you want, and then come back and put your Amazon number in, and you'll get all those audios. You'll be in my system. I'm not going to bombard you with email. I'm not going to invade you. I will only tell you information that is relevant. And that's it. So I want people to build a global community so we can change the world. This is a Change the World book. And that's about it. And if they want to work with me personally, there's a contact form on that page. I do work with people to help build their online platforms. I work with authors to do launches. I'm pretty booked, but, you know, contact me anyway if you want to contact me.
Well, that is a lovely invitation, Lynn. So yeah. Thank you very much for that. Thank you for talking to us today. And you are a great testament to anybody that has a light bulb moment to carry it all the way through and make it work. And I'm so glad that television broke. So great to talk to you, Lynn.
Oh, gosh.
We'll be talking in another month or so's time about light bulb moments, won't we? So look forward to
We
that chat
absolutely will.
too.
We
And
absolutely.
really good to connect with you. And I hope one of these days we meet in person too.
Well, heck, we live just up the road, so we should.
We
We'll have to
should
meet
do
in London.
that.
And yeah, you better be at the London conference, Tom.
Sounds good. Look
Cool.
forward to that.
Great.
We'll put some links up on the bottom of this video and audio as well. So take care, Lynn,
Thank you.
and we'll be
Thank you.
speaking very soon.
Take care, Tom. See you
Bye
soon.
now. Bye bye.